Spear now knows Ray Hunt's story. The information was a bit late in getting to her, but Jack Arnold has finally explained how Ray's wife has been posing as an invalid for years, spending all of Ray's money, and refusing to give him a divorce. Although Mert still loves Ray, she hasn't shown any signs of weakening in her determination to break with him, regardless of what extenuating circumstances there are. Meanwhile, she has turned her attention to another problem, that of arranging for Marge's legal adoption by Mr. and Mrs. Minter. Mert has asked Jack Arnold to help with the legal details, and in just a moment, we'll find out what has to be done. Our curtain is about to go up once more on the newest episode in the story of Mert and Marge. Mert has invited Jack to a luncheon at the apartment she and Margie are now sharing. They have just finished eating, as Jack says.
I must thank you girls for the most delicious luncheon I've had for a long time.
We're glad you could come, Jack.
How did you like my cake, Mr. Arnold?
It was just fine, Miss Margie.
That's my first one. I'm going to try making a pie someday soon.
Oh, will you ask me over to try some of them? I'll take a day off to enjoy it.
Now, shall we talk over the business I mentioned to you, Jack?
Oh, yes, and I'll be very glad to help if I can. Now, what is this big deal?
Well, Jack, it's rather hard to begin. It's a story that goes back 16 years. Margie's story. Will you tell it, Margie?
Oh, Myrtle, won't you please tell Mr. Arnold? I just can't do it.
Well, it's no easy job for me either.
Oh, go ahead, Myrtle. I'm used to hearing life stories. That's my business, you know. And, of course, you know whatever you tell me will be held in strictest confidence.
Well, tell him everything, Myrtle. Except, you know, what Jimmy said to me that time and some of the sordid parts.
All right, dear. Well, Jack, the first shock you'll get is to hear that Jimmy is not Margie's real brother.
What?
That he's no relation at all.
Well, that's rather a shock.
Mr. Arnold, and you've done so much for him.
Oh, well, chances are I'd have done the same if I'd known he wasn't your brother, Miss Margie. I like the kid, and I still think there's a chance for him to become a good citizen if he ever overcomes his weaknesses.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Arnold. I'm sure he will. He thinks you're a wonderful man. So do I.
Going to be hard to live up to all this, Miss Margie. Well, go on, Myrtle.
Well, I guess I'll have to begin like Margie did when she told me her long story at the beginning.
Well, perhaps just an outline will do to start with. Then when we go over it, we can be more specific, huh?
All right. Well, 16 years ago, someone left a basket in the hallway of a house in Oneida, New York. What was the address, Margie?
Why, it was that...
Never mind the addresses or dates just now. We'll get all that later. Well, what was in this basket?
Me, Mr. Arnold.
You, Miss Margie? Oh, no.
Yes, Margie was in the basket. And pinned to her blanket was a note which said, "Her name is Marguerite. She's 4 months old. I'll care for her as if she were your own child. Every month, you will receive the enclosed amount of money for her care and education." Isn't that right, Margie?
Yes, that's right.
You say she was 4 months old, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a child of 4 months is quite active and can almost sit up alone, can't it?
Well, Mother said I was very little and sickly.
Oh.
Well, you never told me that, Margie. Jack, can you imagine anybody leaving a sick baby like that?
Well, it's almost unbelievable, Myrtle, but it's being done right along.
Oh, Myrtle forgot to tell you the amount of money was $200.
$200. And how long did you continue to receive it?
Well, all these years until a few months ago. Then it stopped coming.
And you've had no communication since?
Oh, I was getting to that, Mr. Arnold. The other day I got a letter from Mother saying that she'd received a post office order for $600. They also said that I'd reached the age where I'd need more money. So from now on they'd send $300 a month instead of two.
Well, how have you received this money?
Well, it's always an express order, a post office money order. And always from New York, addressed to Daddy.
Any particular name signed to it?
Always a different name, and always typewritten.
Oh.
Well, Margie told me that when she was a little girl, Mr. Minter, her dad, at least the only one she knows, advertised in the papers and got lawyers and even detectives to try and trace her real parents, or the people who'd left her there in the hall. But they never succeeded in getting even a clue.
Well, it looks to me like it might be a simple matter through the postal authorities.
But After a while, they gave it up. They got to love Margie so much, they didn't want to know who she was.
I see. Well, now, what is it you want me to do?
I'll tell you, Jack. Since the money started coming again, Margie's mother is worried for fear someone will claim Margie and take her away from them.
Mm-hmm.
So Margie and I have thought perhaps you could tell us if Mr. and Mrs. Minder could legally adopt her.
Oh, I see. Well, I tell you, girls, I'll look up the New York laws pertaining to adoption and do all I can for you.
Oh, will you, Mr. Arnold? And I'll write to Mother. Oh, she'd be so happy. Mm-hmm.
You say your real name is Marguerite? Well, where'd you get the name of Margie?
Well, when Jimmy was a little boy, he couldn't say Marguerite, so he called me Margie.
I see.
Gradually, everyone called me Margie, and I kept it for the stage.
Well, now, do your folks still live at the address where you were left?
Oh, no. We moved to another part of town when I was a very little girl. We've lived there ever since.
You know, Jack, Margie's life seems to parallel mine. Although in her case, she at least had someone to care for and love her as a little girl.
Well, I'm not sure I know what you mean, Myrtle.
Oh, didn't you know that I was an orphan too, Jack?
Well, no, I didn't.
Oh, I suppose it doesn't matter being an orphan, but sometimes I think of all the things I must have missed. It's hard sometimes, looking forward to a certain goal and staying on the straight and narrow without anybody to help you along.
I wish I'd been there, Myrtle.
Yeah. Sometimes when I look at you, Margie, Well, something I never told anyone, not even you, dear. It all goes back to that awful heel I told you I was married to. That's a long, drawn-out story that I don't think either one of you would be interested in right now.
Oh, I would be, Myrtle.
No, not tonight, dear. Someday I might tell you, but, well, it's a little sordid and heartbreaking. Anyhow, I live in the present. I had hopes for the future, and till lately, I tried to forget the past. I'm a fatalist, Jack. Nobody can keep my spirits down for long.
Not a girl, Myrtle.
But my chief worry now is about Margie. And, Jack, please don't keep us waiting. I'll feel jumpy until you let us know something definite.
Well, I'll look it all up for you sometime tomorrow. The Houston gang trial's coming up in the morning. It's going to take a lot of my time, but I'll do my best on this. Perhaps I'll see you tomorrow night.
Are you going to do anything about my being kidnapped, Mr. Arnold?
No, we're going to forget all about that, Miss Margie. I've still got Houston's top coat. He's worried about it, but as long as it's never leaked out, except for that article in the blot, and that was repudiated, we'll forget all about it.
Oh, I'm so glad to forget it.
Isn't life just one darn thing after another?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget these last 4 weeks as long as I live.
Well, getting back to your story, Miss Margie, does anyone besides Mr. and Mrs. Minter, Jimmy, Myrtle, and, of course, myself, know anything about it?
No one else, Mr. Arnold. How I've hated to have you hear it. I'm so ashamed.
Ashamed? Ashamed of what, little girl?
Well, I always thought it was terrible not to know who one's parents are.
But you said you didn't want me to find yours.
No, I must never know.
Must be somebody with money to be able to send $300 a month for your care.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. That's what hurts me so, to think I was so unwanted. They must be trying to hide me, whoever they are. I don't want to know them.
There, Margie. That goes for you and me both.
Well, I your girls will excuse me. I'm afraid I've got to be going.
Well, I'll get your hat and coat.
Oh, thank you, Myrtle. By the way, I'll have to see Mr. Mitter on all this, Miss Margie.
Well, I'm going to have Mother and Dad come down real soon.
Good. I'll look up all the data tomorrow, and we'll see you sometime tomorrow night. I'll meet your dad when he comes to New York, and we'll get all the details.
Well, must we wait that long?
They haven't bothered you in 16 years, chicken. Guess you'll be safe a few weeks longer.
Yeah, I guess I will be. Goodbye, Mr. Arnold. Gee, thanks so much.
Goodbye, Margie Pudgy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for coming to lunch, Jack. I certainly appreciate what you're doing for Margie.
Oh, no trouble at all, Myrtle. Oh, by the way, did you see Ray Hunt last night?
No.
Going to see him?
Well, I'll have to look at him when he's around.
Be nice to him, Myrtle.
He's Mr. Hunt, our stage director. I have to be nice to him.
He's suffering, Myrtle.
Good.
You won't weaken?
Try not to.
No matter how it hurts, you certainly can take it, can't you?
Right on the chin.
What is the story of Mert's past? Is it in any way connected with that of Marge's? And will Jack Arnold be able to arrange for Marge's adoption by the Mitters? Jack will probably do his best to relieve Marge's mind, but perhaps by digging back into the past, it might not be such a good idea after all. At any rate, Jack has started the ball rolling. We'll see what happens in the next stirring episode of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.